On today's Restart podcast, we'll review the draft that's taken place over the last 3 days. Inactivity was the name of the game on day one. We're involved on day two and day three, so we'll have a look at the guys we picked up. A few other bits and pieces, some former Dockers getting second chances at other clubs. Preseason training, a couple of train-ons that we've got to talk about. Let's get the Chief back on board. It's been a while since he joined us on the Restump, right after we start wearing purple with Goggle Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restart Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonnell. And not as always, but for the first time in a while, I'm joined by a man who's completely disengaged with AFL football and all news surrounding the Fremantle Dockers. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes. Hello, Jojo.
Having yourself a bit of a rest, aren't you?
Mate, the subvest does that to you. It really does. Put the subvest on and you put your feet up, forget about everything. So,
You make it sound like it was an enforced substitution. Like
it's absolutely enforced.
You substitute yourself out of that podcast every
day. No, I got the text message.
You absolutely do.
I got the text message. Said, Chief, have a day off. Your recent performances have been ordinary. Have a day off. That was the text message I got from you.
So, maybe you want to screenshot that and make it public.
I will make that public, actually. That's what happened. had a bit of month off, haven't we? Can't remember the last time.
We've had a long time off.
I've had a long time off, but kept my eye on things. Not to any as great a detail as we were during the season, but back into it in the last few days with the draft, Jojo.
The draft this year is we were just chatting before we started. The draft this year feels a lot different to what we've done in previous years, doesn't it? I mean, there was a hype of interest and activity in our selections, but you know, just because we've got multiple first round top 10 in most cases selections each of the last few years.
Yeah.
This year, our first pick comes in at 33. It doesn't seem to be the same buzz or same care factor in the blokes we're picking up.
No, that's right. They didn't seem the same level of interest, did they? And saying that, Duck from the Purple Ranger, he wrote a thing about that today or yesterday on Facebook, and it was a good read. He was saying how often that we haven't had our first pick has been always been in the top, 10, 20 picks. So he ran through the whole lot of the what we've done on the rare occasions and we have had our first pick has been 30. It was interesting reading. So it's sort of uncharted waters to some extent in recent times for us anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. We obviously traded out our first round pick for Jackson this year and next year's. You look back through, I don't like looking back through history when we trade our first round picks out because generally it doesn't end well. And it's always going to be there, that draft, the Hodge, Ball, Judd draft, and it's just always going to haunt us, I think. So, yeah, let's not look back. Let's look forward.
Look forward.
We've got a pretty good idea of the list changes now down at Fremantle. So, out the door go Akers, Blakely, Crowden, Lobb, Logue, Meek, Mundy, Tucker and Weston. Quite a few outs. And names of players were actually featured quite heavily in the 23 each week. In come Conrad Williams, Wagner, Hugh Davies, Jagger Amira, Corbett, Josh Draper, Liam Reedy, Luke Jackson, Max Noble, Tom Emmett. So, I don't know. It's an interesting little transition period for the Dockers list, isn't it? I mean, you look at the names coming in compared to the names going out, and we're probably doing a bit of depth, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. You have to. I mean, we lost, regular players that are, what are we talking? Probably 100, 200 game players. So, yeah, we've got to be doing a bit of damage in the depth reason. But I'm okay with what we've picked up. I think we've done pretty well being in the position we were and the draft capital we had. I think they've done really well, to be honest.
Yeah, no issue at all with what they've done. And I think, the changes to the list and the way we've drafted reflect also the natural improvement we're expecting from guys we've drafted in previous years.
Yeah.
And Yep. You know, talk about Erasmus a little bit later. You know, you got Matty Johnson, who we didn't see a lot of last year. There's a lot of guys that have been plying their trade down at Peel or been in and out of the side with, you know, Liam Henry on a wing. There's guys there that have got to take a step up now and fill the void of those kind of semi-experienced guys that walked out the door.
That's right. Hey, I'm just looking at this, right? On those names you rattled off. So we've got nine, is that nine? One, two, three, four, five, six, nine out and 10 ins.
Well, two of those are Cat B rookies, and we've still got an open list spot. We passed on one of our picks, so
Of course.
We've still got an opportunity to train on a player or pick up a guy in the mid-season draft if we so wish.
Yep.
Why don't we look at the first player selected. That was my mate Hugh Davies from Christchurch. He spoke about him briefly on the pod with Jordan McArdle last week.
Briefly? Mate, come on. What is it with you and your high school allegiances, Jojo? It's a bit, it got very cultish. How big of a rev up you gave.
That's not true. I don't know. You're probably more confident in speaking of people that you know or have seen more often, right? I've just seen Hugh play. And, you know, Jordan wrote the article the day before of Hugh Davies, and obviously murmurs and whispers of increasing interest as they get closer to the draft urged him to do it because. You know, he was projected as before that period of time, as a marginal prospect to be drafted or, you know, could go second, could go third round. And then all of a sudden, Dockers pick him at 33.
Yeah, it was, I did hand it to you. You were pretty good. You did kind of nail it, but you weren't expecting 33 to be gone then or?
You wouldn't have thought so. I mean, not from what you read and not from what you hear, but I mean, like, it doesn't surprise me. I think they might have heard a whisper, apparently, that Port was sniffing around.
Right.
So I think they had a pick between when we were picking at our next pick. So obviously didn't want to miss out on the big redhead.
When you go to one of these schools, do you got to sign your name in blood?
Mate, well, excuse me. The last two draft pods, I've talked up Gussie Sheldrick, and then the Swans kind of grabbed him in the first round when no one thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I talked up my mate Hugh Davies. Hugh Davies, he could, if he had had his full potential and form exposed, I think he would have been in real conversations for where he got drafted or possibly higher.
Really?
Well, so for what he does, I mean, he's got a skill set that is sought after in AFL circles. He's a real good size. What he's like, 197, 198 centimetres, and an interceptor. I mean, everyone's chasing these big intercepting defenders.
That's true. They are, aren't they? So you're suggesting you believe there's a lot of upside that maybe went unnoticed?
I reckon with him, he does a lot really well, and he could be a really special intercepting defender. And he's not your key defender, like you just stick him in the goal square and he'll lock down on someone and, you know, shut him down and they won't kick a goal. I mean, we saw he does have deficiencies in his defensive play, I think. I mean, we saw during the under-18s, and I think Jordan brought it up in the podcast, that he got taken to the cleaners by I think he said it was Cadman in one of the under-18 games. But it's not his go. I mean, he's more of a roll-off guy. I remember seeing him come down in year 10 and sometimes when these kids are real young and they play out against the older kids, you know, a year 10 coming down to play first 18 footy with a year 11 and year 12 cohort and not being overawed and stepping in and playing really well is like a massive tick in the box because these kids are bigger, quicker, older, faster, whatever than he was. But he just looked composed even from his first game. He knows when to go. He knows when to come off. And he's so athletic, takes really, really, you know, just the way he sees the game and comes off and takes the marks and then hits the ground running, he's ready to go. So I think that aspect of his game, he has a chance to be like awesome at. And that's what you want, I reckon, when you're picking a guy in the first, second round of the draft, you want them to be great at something, right?
Yeah, for sure. Who are you likening him to?
I don't like doing comparisons.
I know. Liam Jones.
Yeah, possibly, maybe.
Yeah.
But he uses the ball really well.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So he has got good skills.
Yeah.
The, good foot
the
skills.
The thing with him is, you know, we tried him up forward when we didn't have a – we were a bit we were a bit skint for talent down at Christchurch in the years that he was there, especially in the forward 50. So we threw him forward and he looked out of place. He didn't look like he knew how to play as a forward. And
but had he ever played there before?
No, probably not. I'm sure he would have played there in juniors a bit. It just didn't look natural. He just looked so natural as a defender coming at the ball and sitting behind the play and knowing where to position himself. So, yeah, I really like the pick. I think for what we needed, I think it's a really great pick. I mean, the other thing is as well, in year 10 and 11, his backline coach was Anthony Grover at Christchurch.
Oh, yeah.
And then in year 12, his backline coach or the guy that was looking after him was Eric McKenzie. So, you know, he's had good advice in his ear, and he's already got a Dockers whisperer in his ear in Groves. So,
he did mention them in his interview, and he was like he couldn't have thanked them enough. So,
yeah, both legends of blokes. I don't know, Eric McKenzie's an Eagle, but you won't find a nicer guy.
Yep.
Moving on from
do you know what though? Before you just move on. You know what I'd like to see? I would like to see Tobe Watson hand him his jumper. Could we organise that? One redhead down back to another?
There's a fair few sunscreen jokes going around, wasn't there?
There was one there.
The next guy at pick 41, Tommy Emmett. You don't mind him, do you? You don't mind someone overcoming a bit of adversity, coming through the clouds, seeing the sunshine? This kid seems like he's been through it all, doesn't he?
He has absolutely been through it all. I love this. The professor, Jojo, Tom, what is it? Emeritus professor. 187 centimetres, Jojo, nearly 88 kilos. That's big for a kid of his, you know, for his stature and lack of, you know, continuity in his footy.
Yeah.
But you know what I like most? He's got some going. He's got a bit of the Frank Costanzas about him. A bit of... You know, you want a piece of me, that kind of stuff. I watched all the highlights I could find on him. I think he might be my guy. I think he's got that bit of niggle. He was mining iron ore with people's heads. That's like, I loved it. So I reckon, and he's got that uncompromising, you know, that looks like he can get up the ground. And I'm making all this up from the highlight package that you see of him. But he's just got, you just see things in people. And he's just got the right intent, the right, you know, just got that go and that will. And
well, you talk about will. I mean, anyone who manages to overcome a battle with cancer, we've had close friends who have had to do that. Like, that's inspiring enough in itself. The only thing that does worry me, and I feel like it would worry you, he suffered a severed Achilles after trying to jump a fence.
That was him.
He's also suffered a broken collarbone,
yes,
and a broken hand. He does sound a little reckless at the same time, doesn't he?
No, that's good. That tells you he's got no fear. That's what it tells me. I was wondering, were you there to help him?
With what?
When he did his Achilles on the fence. I'm given how often you sit on him. I just thought there's a chance you might be on might have been sitting on that fence that he did it on. Were you there? No.
No.
Jojo, he's great. He's really good. And the other thing I think of, is there a subtle message being sent by, you know, with his selection? So given his size, his position, the fact he's from Sturt, is there a message there?
I don't think so.
Sturdy, 190, 81 kegs. He's very cryptic, JL, Jojo. You know, I reckon JL's sort of in a roundabout way is saying whether it's Sam or not, we're going to get some intensity out of Sturt. I reckon that's what he's saying. So he's a ripper, Jojo. He's a good pick, I reckon.
What I like about him, he's on a trajectory of improvement, and I don't think it seems as though no one's really seen the best of him yet. And
that's right.
You put some of these guys into a professional environment where all they do is footy, footy, footy.
Yeah.
Like, some of them can just pop and unlock the potential that they've got. So, yeah, he does seem like one of those guys. And the other good thing I think as well is that I think I saw somewhere it was mentioned that Fremantle had been tracking him since high school days. So, they're not like they just came across him last week when everyone else started mentioning him as a possible draftee. He'd been on the radar for a long time, been tracking him. Yeah, so. Yeah,
but you know what I love? That one. I'm with you on that, in that all those injuries he did, they were separate seasons. So, and the cancer as well on top of that. So he's missed a ton of footy. You get someone like him into the, as you said, into the professional system, he gets continuity into his game. Suddenly, yeah, he can jump out of the ground. So, and plays tall too, Jodo, for, you know, he can take a good overhead mark by the looks of on his, again, on his highlights package. And backs in the packs. He's, yeah, I think he's a good get.
Well, that was a bit of a theme, wasn't it, bringing in big bodies throughout this draft. And the next pick was Max Noble. We were wondering what Freo were going to do when it came to ruck stocks, whether they were going to go for someone who was a little bit more ready to step in and fill a void in case of an injury, or whether going to draft a younger guy with who was a little bit more raw, who would take a bit longer but maybe had a bit more upside. They've gone for the latter, and that is the son of former AFL footballer Trent Noble. What do you make of this guy? He's a big kid, 206 centimetres. They say he's possibly still growing. I don't know. I like the idea that we've identified another young kid and having a crack at developing someone through Peel, because you see like how good it was with Lloyd Meek. Like what, even though he didn't really make a mark and play that much AFL footy for Freo, you'd build up capital in these guys, and look, it helps you bring in a Jaguar O'Meara.
Yep. We're starting a ruck farm.
So it's a good idea.
It is. If you can identify that talent and you get it right, you buy them very cheaply and, buy low, sell high. I thought he was an interesting pick, Jada, because, again, I didn't know anything about him, but I went and read everything I could find on him, all the profiles, all the analysis. And the take I took was that there weren't big expectations on him to even go in the draft this year. So it was an interesting one that we followed through, and maybe, I mean, he must have something because he ended up being Vic Country's first ruck. But, yeah, I thought it was an interesting one, and I don't really know what to make of, you know, how good he is or could be. I'm not sure.
Well, I think he kind of fits the mold almost of a Rory Lobb type, doesn't he? I mean, he seems to have a good marking ability. He likes to go forward. He's kicked five straight in a NAB League game, although they do question his set shot kicking ability, which is not completely reliable, which fits the bill perfectly.
Yeah, that's right. Does he turn around Bokey's teammates?
I haven't seen that. But no, I like the pick. I think... you know, there was a few guys. There was Jackson Broadbent from Peel, who was another one we talked about. We didn't actually talk about Noble on the draft pod because we were focusing more on the West Aussie kids.
Yeah.
But I think someone in this mold who they've shown an ability to go and, you know, really refine someone's ruck skills down at Peel. They don't necessarily have to play in the seniors because Meek developed really, really well down at Peel. Yep. Hopefully, they can do the same thing with Max Noble.
Yep. Great.
The next pick was 57, and they've gone for someone who's Fremantle's third club after being at, where was he at? Melbourne and...
North Melbourne.
North Melbourne, that's right. And that was Corey Wagner. Very much looks like a Justin Longmuir type player, I reckon.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting one because, and I'm going to be honest here, up until a few hours ago, I thought we'd recruited his brother, Josh Wagner. So, oddly enough, I used to confuse Josh Wagner with Jaden Hunt at Melbourne. I just thought he hasn't played. He wasn't on an AFL list for 2021-2022, Corey Wagner. So, I find it an interesting pick. But he did play, he'd only played 19 games in total. Didn't have a club in 2021-22. It's quite difficult to remember what he actually did in those 19 games. I can't really recall him to suggest that where he's. I mean, he's obviously come in for a bit of versatility for a wing or a, you know, defender or whatever. But he's just come in for some depth, hasn't he?
Yeah, possibly. I reckon he could be more than that. I mean, you read some of his quotes and the way he. He kind of was thinking of his opportunities that he's going to have to play AFL footy again. And I think he mentioned that, you know, he was just going to go to bed, like he wasn't going to watch the draft or pay much attention to it. He didn't really have high hopes for getting picked. But he, along with Tom Emmett, I reckon something that stands out to me is just them maybe having a bit more perspective on life and understanding their opportunity and making the most of it.
Yep. Yeah.
If you read into what Wagner says and then some of the quotes from what Emmett and look at what he's been through in life.
Yeah.
These guys have been through adversity and come out the other side and now have got an opportunity to play AFL footy.
Mm.
And I feel like that, you know, it can't be a coincidence that that kind of trait is coming into the club, that kind of humble nature, humble and hardworking nature. It seems to be something that we really value.
Will Brody, another, you know, not to the same circumstance, but second chance sort of thing. I think you're right. I think since JL's come in, character's been the thing, hasn't it?
I mean, you've got to have ability. I mean, you watch him play.
Yeah.
And he's got the exact kind of attributes which we'll be 100% looking to incorporate into our ball movement this year. I mean, they've been layering it in since JL came in and it was kind of more of a focus last year.
Yeah.
That run and carry, the handball receive and the layered run from back to forward. Like, you watch him play, he'll just keep running, whether he gets the footy or not. And he'll look to get the ball 2-3 times in a chain of possession.
Has he got a tank?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
But I think that's exactly the kind of playing style they're going to look to implement, especially the guys running from, you know, half-back, full-back, or even the wings. You know, you want guys getting involved multiple times and moving and getting in, you know, and just keeping on moving and running and working. And he looks like exactly that kind of player.
So, just looking at his stats, he did kick 6 goals in 10 games, I think, in 2019. So, he can hit the scoreboard as well. So, but I honestly thought he was more of an insurance pick. Just a bit of depth, but maybe you're right. Maybe I hope you're right that he's more than that. So,
but do you reckon? I know we always talk about some of these guys as depth players, but you look at the way we select our team.
Yeah,
and I know we've obviously got our favourites, and you know their place in the team's secured. But JL does seem to give everyone an opportunity.
They do. Yeah, he does.
You don't get pigeonholed as a Peel player if. You know, someone comes back and you're doing the job. They're going to earn their position back.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And they wouldn't. There's no way you're picking a player up just purely for depth. While that would be your fallback plan, you're picking a player up that you think you can make better.
So, and you think really, you know, what's driving Fremantle's success is the determination to kind of push up from Peel, those guys looking for a game at Peel. And you think about Erasmus last year, some of the games he put in, still couldn't really crack it into the seniors.
Yep.
You know, Liam was forced back because of how well O'Driscoll played on a wing and how well Akers played at times on a wing.
Yep.
There was just pressure from underneath for long periods of the season. And that's when we were flying and going really well.
Mm.
You know, we thought Nathan Wilson wouldn't see AFL footy last year. He played a heap of it. In the end, for what you would have thought he would have been playing.
A heap.
Well, I didn't think he'd play 5 games. He would have played 5 games last year.
He didn't play 5 games.
How many games did he play? He would have played a few games. And he was good when he came in.
He was all right. He was. But, I mean, you sort of got what you expected from a Nathan Wilson.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, a guy like that who I reckon you could have seriously thought, no, you know, like maybe my career's, you know, got a limited lifespan. Like it's got limited time left.
Yeah.
And he didn't give it that at all, did he? Like he was putting in, week out.
Yeah.
And then when he came up to the ones, he was putting in again. I think they've really done well to cultivate that kind of culture.
That mindset.
Of everyone has an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did go for a mature type ruckman in the rookie draft, a bloke named Liam Reedy, a 204-centimetre ruck forward from Frankston, who has been playing VFL footy.
Mm.
Another one that's, you know, he seems more ready. He seems the break glass in case of emergency type ruckman. Although he still seems to have quite a bit of upside himself, right?
Well, he's one I don't really know anything about, but was he touted to go in the draft?
He was mentioned as one of the mature age ruckmen that could go.
Okay.
And I think he's one of those guys, you know, you have those rucks that float around the second tiers competitions that are on the radar.
Yeah.
And he's one of them. So we're the club that gives him his opportunity.
So
it's hard to see him actually cracking the list, to be honest. Like
it does.
Yeah. It's going to be a weird situation where Jackson and Darcy aren't ready to go at the same time. That would be a disaster. So I don't even want to think about that.
No, that's right. And, yeah, that would be the scenario where Reedy comes up, doesn't it? So, but as we were talking about pre-draft, you have to have him there. You have to have a Reedy just in case. And are you manifesting by getting Reedy, you know, you're manifesting injuries to Darcy and Jackson?
I don't think so. No. Something about both of these ruckmen, Noble and Reedy, they both have shown a propensity to be able to play in the forward 50, like Noble with his marking and Reedy on the lead. So,
Okay,
it's good to see, you know, we're not just getting a beanpole in to win a hit out. They do have, you know, a little bit of depth to their game as well.
Yep. Gotcha.
Jordan McArdle mentioned that we would be taking Draper and Williams in the rookie draft if possible, if they weren't bid on. We were lucky enough that Williams didn't get bid on during the draft itself.
Yep.
Draper comes in as well. Both pretty promising prospects, I reckon, coming out of the NGA. A lot's been mentioned of Draper. Williams is the one that seems to have, you know, quite a bit of ability. He just needs to find a way to find the footy more.
Okay.
You know, he's got the pace, he's got the skills. So it'd be interesting to see how they go.
Very slight, isn't he? Very light.
Yeah.
Slight.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I did see about the other guy, Josh Draper. I saw some photos today. Did you see them? Of him on the Freo Football Twitter? Did you see them? His leaping skills. Now, I looked at it and I thought, I mean, they were saying how high he can leap or how well he leaps. I thought they needed some fact checking. Because I went down to Bunnings. I got a what's called a perspective length tool, and what that does is it helps you measure distance on photos, right? I don't know. It takes some reference points as use the horizon. I don't know all these points. Now I ran that over at Jada. Now I'm not saying Josh Draper hasn't got a good leap on him, but the official measurement was half a milk crate. And now I love the social media guys, Jada. I love those Freo social media guys. We'd buy him a beer if we could. Come on, Tommy Fee. Talk about working the angles. It was a milk crate, Jada. He hardly got over a milk crate. And they're saying he's Superman in the air. You can't do those angles and then just, you know, you could just be a bit more realistic. I know content's hard to find.
It's a season of positivity. Why can't you just be positive?
I mean, you got to be real. I know content's hard to find. You're trying to come up with good content, but mate, it's got to be 1.5 milk crates, then start talking. But anyway.
There's a hard luck story in every draft, and we spent a bit of time talking about Sam Gilbey on Tuesday last week with Geordie. Unfortunately, he was passed over by everyone and the rookie draft when Jordan thought he could be the guy at pick 30 for us.
Yep.
It's a tough break for a kid, and we saw it with Matty Johnson the year before, sliding from possibly the top 10 to being the first pick of the second round.
Was that when he burst into tears?
It must be tough on some of these kids, though. You go in with such high hopes and expectation, and then to know that you're going to have to do it the hard way. I suppose there is some solace, though. You see some of the guys picked up, even by Freo. You know, they're 21, 22 years old. They've gone back, played state league footy. They're still on the radar. Still hope for him, but it'd be a tough pill to swallow, I reckon. Jed Hagen as well. He was another one. Couldn't have done much more as a junior footy prospect. He got completely looked over.
Any of those kids that are devastated, just put a little bit in perspective. Go and have a look at Tommy Emmett and what he's been through. So there's two ways to look at everything, Jojo. There's always
got the chip on the shoulder, don't you? And then butter up and go again.
Yeah. Yep. Just you only got to be right once. You can be wrong a bunch of times. You only got to be right once. With what you're pointing out, all these kids that didn't get picked up. Are you questioning Jordan McArdle's draft pick?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm not. You got to make a prediction. You got to call it. It's just, and he wasn't alone. I mean, Gilbey was projected to get drafted for sure. So, whether something came up in the testing or whatever it was, I don't know. The one that I had a look at him a bit closer after I spoke to Jordan because he was quite hard on him as well. Was Steely Green.
Hmm.
And he got picked. He slid all the way to 55.
Yeah, Dan went to Richmond. Steely Dan. He was one that I thought. Do you think we would have taken him if he was there, or we still would have went with who do we go with? Tommy. Tom.
I don't know. You look at the size of the guys that we pick. Emmett's 186. Noble's 206. Hughes 196.
Mm.
Steely Green's 179. I reckon, as a rule, maybe we just don't pick anyone in the 170s anymore.
No, I think that looks. Might be why we got Weston. I know he was in the 160s, wasn't he? Actually, Tom Emmett went before. Who was our pick after Steely Green? Was it
Wagner?
Oh, Wagner. Okay. So he went at
Wagner. We got at 57.
57. So do you reckon?
But we'd been into him for a long time, though, haven't we?
So Tom, do you reckon if Steely Green was available at 57, would we have taken him?
And was 180 centimeters.
How much? How big?
Another centimeter taller.
Was he?
No, if he was another centimeter taller, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Oh, he's
it didn't seem like that area of the ground really. I mean, I suppose we got Emmett who plays that kind of role, but he's a bit bigger. Is that more of a medium size, you'd think?
Yeah.
Small, medium. Steely Green's more of that kind of Lockie Schultz-y type.
Oh, player. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. We're probably not in the market for it.
No.
Who knows? Yeah, so that was the draft. Ed Allen was the one that everyone was speaking about before the draft. He was the big riser. And people have been spoken about him possibly going in the top 10. He ended up going to Collingwood. Any thoughts? Would you have liked to trade it up for the son of our inaugural captain?
Oh, look, it would have been nice to get him, you know, in more ways than one, or four more ways than one. But how would we have traded up to pick 19?
Yeah, you'd have to throw in like a future pick from somewhere, wouldn't you?
Don't want to do that. As much as I want Eddie, as much as I would have wanted him, I'm pretty comfortable with who we took. And
how soon after you think he lands at Collingwood does he request the trade to Fremantle?
Well, it's interesting. I read today that he's put his next lot of contract talks on hold. So I think he's already started. So, yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back to...
Hope's not lost, is it? I mean, I think if West Coast took him early, you'd probably say it'd be tough to get him across. But going to Collingwood, it's almost a pick for us where he's just going to be warehoused until he wants to come home, isn't it?
Sounds like it, doesn't it? They'll get into salary cap trouble again and want to offload everyone, he can come home. So that'd be good. But how good is he?
Oh, yeah, no, I think he's got a lot of potential.
Yep.
Good size for the position he plays.
Okay.
There's been a little bit of Freo news around the draft and, you know, a few media appearances. One of note, I thought, was Peter Bell appearing on SEN where he's speaking about Luke Jackson.
Mm.
And a lot's been made of his potential role next season.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard him throw up the wing in the middle on the ball, you know, obviously pinch hitting or backing up Darcy in the ruck. It really does sound as though, and you look at the way we've drafted and the way we've recruited in the offseason, he's going to play a lot of time up forward.
Does, doesn't it? And I've got to be honest, I felt sorry for Mitchell Woodcock, the West Australian journo. A week ago, he ran with the Fremantle ruckman Sean Darcy could set to be handed over the number one ruck role. And Luke Jackson looks to become more of a threat up forward, Jackson might take over the ruck role. 7 days later, absolutely, Bell put cold water on that. So there's no shadow of a doubt, Jodak. Ruck role, lead ruck, Sean Darcy. Jackson's going to play predominantly forward.
Interesting to hear Belly talk about other teams. You don't really hear them talk about other teams much. They're very focused on what they're doing in themselves. But he did mention the way he was used at Melbourne and the fact that he wasn't really isolated in many one-on-one contests, and they identified the fact that when he was in a one-on-one contest, he was able to take a lot of grabs.
Yeah.
So the idea next year will be to work him into space where he can have a crack at a one-on-one air ball and get up and take some marks and kick some goals.
Yeah. But yeah, if they can – it's always been our struggle, Jojo, getting the forward line structure right and creating space and all that. But if they can do it and he can be one-on-one – those that didn't want him here are going to change their minds pretty quick.
Someone that kind of half the people wanted here and half didn't was Blake Akers.
Hmm.
I've got to tell you, the smoke they blow up his ass in the Eastern States post-trade period, as if he's like one of the 20 or 30 best players in the league, is starting to get a bit too much. It's getting a bit too much for me. I don't know if I can take it anymore.
No, I'm with you. The minute he put himself on the mark, wanted to go to Carlton, suddenly he was second to Dusty.
It's like Martin. He's the preeminent wingman in Australia. Yeah. I think it was Mitch Cleary who tweeted something along the lines of he and the bloke the kid they drafted could tip Carlton over the edge next year. Could be the bump they need.
They
didn't even make the finals this year.
So he thinks that the kid they drafted is on one wing and Akers on the other, and that's going to get
an Akers Hollands wing combo could be the missing piece for Carlton to take the next step.
She said, Holland's kid must be all right.
I don't like bagging out Akers. He had a good season. He had a great patch where he was actually like in our best few players each game.
Yep.
But that didn't last longer than, what, like 5 or 6 weeks, and then he got hurt, and he never really got back to it.
No, that's right. No, and as we've said all along with Blake Akers, he can't afford not to play at that level that he was when he was great, because when he doesn't play at that level, he's nowhere near the asset. And he's someone that you're taking a lot of risk on that has to play at that level. And will he? I don't think he can for a whole season. So
I just think as well, like Freo aren't the kind of club, if he was and if he was one of the best few wingmen in the league, he would be playing for Freo next season. Like he would have stayed if we would wanted to pay him. And
that's right.
He wasn't asking for money that was outrageous. It was probably what he's market value is, or it is what his market value is, because Carlton paid it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like overs. He didn't get a fortune.
No.
So,
anyway, no, that's right.
It's just crazy how, like, no one watches Freo games, like, or no one watches all of Freo games except for Freo fans. And it's just how this guy can be talked of the way he is now over there is just like a little bit insane to me. But
it's getting out of hand, isn't it? It's very strange.
We spoke earlier about the competition for spots and, you know, where the new depth for Freo is going to come from. And it's these young guys that we've been using high draft picks from. We've returned to preseason training, you know, en masse now. How encouraging is it to see Neil Erasmus winning the first couple of 1K time trials? I mean, he's obviously put in a lot of work in the off-season. No one's really enjoyed their off-season all that much. It looks like they're all in pretty good nick. But that's what we want to see, isn't it? He's the one, I reckon, out of all of them that you want to see really pushing hard to break into the 23.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was the one you wanted to see. I don't know what is going on down there, Jojo. They must have run a competition in the off-season that, you know, whoever returned to preseason with the most number of abs, they won a car. I think Freddie's leading at the moment. He's got 22 of them. They were unbelievable, Nick.
That body magic.
Oh, what is he doing? Getting a little bit worried. What is going on down there? So
it's funny. Like, we're not the only club that does it. Every club kind of puts up the photos of the players. I forget who was in the foreground of the shot, but Cozzy Pickett was in the background.
Right.
Tell you what. He hadn't been to Body Magic. Petrarchal is the same. He looks like he's got half a dozen, you know, like a dozen abs. He looked ripped.
Yeah.
But then Cozzy Pickett's walking around past someone with his shirt off in the background. Yep. Yeah. He looked like he did have an off season.
Didn't know the six pack had the old keg.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but everyone looked like they come back in good shape. They come back in great. See, right?
And then Sarong won the third 1K trial, and Chubby outstayed them all, won the fourth. So the fourth one's got to be harder to win than the first three.
Yeah, but you just look. You look at the guys winning them. You look at the. There's none of the old heads. It's all the young kids. They drive this club.
Did any of the were any of the old heads in it?
Oh, they'd have to, wouldn't they?
Don't we really have
too many old heads, do we?
Don't they return next week or?
Oh, do they? Oh. Nat Fife is probably in like Nicaragua or something. What would he be doing, do you think?
Yeah, on the board, surfboard somewhere. So, but I don't think Walters is. Sonny's back, or he's back,
no,
is he?
No, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple there. But no, it is good. It's great, especially Erasmus. You can see he's got the intent for round one. He wants to be there round one. So.
We're looking at the brother of a gun to train on and have a crack at that last spot on the list, Liam Sarong. Different kind of player, key position player, more of an athlete than his brother.
Mm.
What do you think about recruiting brothers? We haven't traditionally really done it, have we? What have we had? The Carr brothers, we've had the Longmuir brothers.
Oh, yeah, Longview Brothers, yeah. That's a battle winner.
Is it Parker Brothers?
Oh, yeah, Shane and Dan Parker, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Is there a bit of Chad Warner, Corey Warner strategy to this?
But Sarong's not a flight risk. He's like he won't leave risk.
Yeah, but someone comes and offers him telephone numbers. Who knows? You know?
But he's the kind of player that you match it for, isn't he? You just think that Freo's not the club that breaks salary
maybe
brackets or
maybe. I tell you, I'm a bit interested though, because Liam's 193 centimetres, right? Jai Sarong, his other brother's 192. Caleb's
what happened?
Yeah. Caleb's 179. That's 13 or 14 centimetres, JJ. I was just wondering, does anyone know the measurements of the postman? Sarong's postman. is there a chance there? You can't say that.
They have to be half. That's weird, isn't it? It's an anomaly.
It is.
Our old mate Connor Blakely, who's been in purgatory for what is it, 2 or 3 years, where he just hasn't got a look in under Longmuir. Just not his kind of player. He's been down at Peel plugging away, mowing lawns for Blakely's backyards, doing everything but playing for the Fremantle Dockers in the AFL. He gets an opportunity. Went with rookie draft pick 7 to the Gold Coast Suns. Great that he got another chance.
Oh, it is, isn't it? But if I can give the Gold Coast Suns some advice, it'll be don't count your chickens just yet. You know, Connor Blakely tells you, like, I'm coming, I'm doing it, I'm there. Then at the last minute, he pikes out. So I'm just a little bit weary there. And I will say,
you're talking about your quest to have him on the podcast, of course.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up, but now that you have, we got him. He was coming on. He said, I got hold of him and he said, mate, I'm away. I'm away. I'm having a bit of a holiday or whatever I'm doing in October. He said, I'll be back in November. We'll sort something out. I'm coming. Then I'll get in touch with him in November. Mate, I've got a bit too much on. Can't make it.
You put a lot of work into that relationship as well. Like early on in the year, you bought a couple of hats.
Yep. Spent $200 on a couple of hats. I think he paid $8 for. Got me there, stung me there, and advertised his business for him. So it was a big campaign, Jojo. I'll tell you what, though. Good luck if you're booked in to have your lawn cut by Blakely's backyards. He's off and gone. You're going to have to get someone else. Do you know the Gold Coast, Jojo? The Gold Coast is home to what is known as the Super Bank. It's a man-made sandbank that... It apparently creates some of the longest wave rides in the world. So we probably should be saying good luck Gold Coast, not good luck to Blakely himself. They got that level of surf there. He might, we know what happens. He tucks the board under the arm and he's gone. So, no, it's good, isn't it? We're mucking around. It's good. I'm wrapped that he's got
a second. Hopefully he gets a chance. I mean, is he going to be playing VFL or NEFL or whatever they play these days to start out, you'd think. But hopefully he gets an opportunity. When Ross was around, like he was one of our next great hopes. And it was only really since JL came around that he was not his kind of player. He's just been put away. So maybe he can make a comeback.
It was from the surfing. From the time he went surfing, his career fell off a cliff. So I don't know why, but just seemed to.
We've received a bit of correspondence in the few weeks that we've been doing draft pods or not doing podcasts. A couple of interesting ones. A guy by the name of Lewis McSevich is going back and listening to all the old podcasts for some reason. maybe needs a hobby or something else to do. I don't know.
Spare time when he's in.
But, well, he emails me about little bits and pieces. He likes to pick up incorrect statements or bets that we made and declare a winner and they haven't been paid off. One he brought up was you made a bet with me about Chera leaving and the loser taking the other out to lunch.
I did. I forgot about that.
So, yeah. I don't know how much you like your lunches. I'm just not sure I can afford to take you out for lunch. So, I'm going to start.
Oh, hilarious.
I'm going to need to start putting away some money each week so I can afford to take you to one of your fancy lunch venues.
We'll
pencil it in for the middle of next year. I reckon I would have almost put away enough.
You're outrageous. $300 for a steak you want. You're fancy.
Do you know, can I just read you one line from the email, which I think is quite funny, and I don't think you'll think it's funny? He says, Take him to Young George or Wildflower. Treat the old fella.
Old fella? Is that what he's gone with? Is that what he's gone with, really? You just made that up.
I've not made that up at all. I think he might have doubled down because there is a few emails. He does contact me a little bit about these old podcasts.
Yeah.
He's got a question for you. He wants to start a new segment called Ask Chief.
Oh, shut up. He does not. You're making this up. This is all made up, isn't it? What's his name? Lewis McSitter.
I can read the whole email if you want.
I don't know if that's wise. I don't know what else.
Hey, JoJo, I do feel a bit bad. All my emails have been directed at you and none at the Chief, so I'm blessing you with the first and maybe last Ask Chief. So I'm wondering if you could do an Ask Chief for me. For how many years and how many White Ox or Champion Ruby Rolly tobacco smokes he smoked today to make his voice sound like he's 72 years old?
I'm not answering that because there wasn't a jingle. That's unbelievable. Why does everyone think I'm a smoker? It couldn't be further from the truth. People don't know that, Jada. I'm a bloody health nut. Is that right? Is that what he thinks? How many rollies?
Yep.
I wouldn't know a kilo of tobacco from a house brick. So I don't know any of that stuff. So is that what he reckons? The voice sounds like a smoker.
I think he also wanted a particular jingle back. He doesn't like the Neighbourhood Watch jingle. He wants the body count jingle back.
Oh, now you're talking.
I don't think he'd be the only one. I don't think that there's too many Daniel Tiger fans out there. They might be restricted to myself.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that we bring that back. Ice-T. Okay. That's when rap music and hip-hop was good, was actually real. Now it's all manufactured rubbish. Ice-T and the body count. Yeah, let's bring that back. Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that. Before we go, I just want to say thanks to a couple of guys who, I don't know what, we just started this thing just to see how it works, and maybe we're going to try using it to do a little few bits and pieces during the year, season next year. But Danny Hanrahan and Kevin McCormick have bought us some coffees and made a donation to the podcast. So thanks very much to those guys. It's greatly appreciated.
Do you know what?
So we're in the money.
We're about two or three less. I had a couple at down at... what's that place called? The Little Loaf Bakery in South Freo this morning. Mate, telling you. Appreciate it. What is your name? Danny and Kevin.
Yep.
How good's that? Didn't a bunch of other people bought us coffees that they didn't leave their name?
Oh, did they?
Didn't they? I thought you said that.
I don't know.
Come on, man. Get on top of it. Thank you very much to anyone who bought us a coffee. Jada, get on top of it, man. What are you doing?
Jeez. Well, I'm trying. I've done it. I think I've got it's not a solid commitment, but we did coach Hugh Davies at high school. So I've hit up my mate Sammy Wallace, who is the head coach at Christchurch. I think he's got a couple of funny stories he can tell about Hugh. So we'll try and get them on for next week. Oh, yeah. Other than that, I don't know. Is anything going to happen in Fremantle Dockerland? These guys are such solid citizens. We've got nothing to talk about.
What would Hugh have done?
Hugh?
Yeah, what would he have done?
Like, it won't be anything mischievous.
No, I know that. Be like, he took a video back and didn't rewind it. coming from Christchurch. Jeez. These stories, they'll be good stories.
You don't want the story.
No, absolutely want them. Absolutely want them. So, anything. We'll take anything. So,
We'll hit a bit of a dead spot, won't we? We've got to get some guests. We've got to get someone to say yes to come on. We need another Ryan Crowley podcast. But not Ryan Crowley.
I thought we had Connor Blakely lined up. He's where are we going after Benny Cousins? Didn't you have a contact there?
Okay.
Come on, get him on. That'll be a ripper. That'll be a ripper pod. Who else can we go for?
We've got to find some guests. Anyone's got a contact for some guests or someone you'd like us to try and ask and get rejected from, let us know. No, we'll come up with something. We'll be back next week, won't we?
Next week? Are we back next week?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
What's going on, though? Unless we get...
Well, because I'm going on holidays on the 15th, so if you want to do another podcast...
Big surprise. How many holidays have you been on this year since they opened the borders?
It's actually out of control. It is out of control.
It is out of control. Your carbon footprint, Jojo. If you stop going on holidays, bloody global warming's fixed. where are you going this time?
I don't want to say.
Come on, where are you going?
One of my mates is coming back from the UK and he wanted to do a getaway with a couple of the families. So, you know that house in 2J where all the...
Not the Hamptons estate. Is that where you're going?
We're staying there for 3 days.
They're 15 grand a night.
I don't think it's quite that much, but it is exorbitantly expensive. Well, lucky I've got some rich friends.
It is absolutely no surprise coming from you.
I'll take some photos for you.
Good on you. That's how I have to live vicariously through your holidays. Is it all I can afford? Yeah. Oh, having a coffee down at the Little Oak Bakery that Kevin and Danny bought for me.
And, yeah. Yeah, you're doing it tough. You're doing it really
looking
tough.
Looking at your photos. That's how I live. it's good.
All right. Well, until next week, are you still down with the restump?
Definitely. Unless I secure a train on position with the Flag Mantle or Purple Rain podcast.
Start wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish. I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.